Good morning, my friends. How are we this beautiful day? Well, very good. Well, we are here, in case you're wondering, to praise God, to give him honor and glory for all that he has done for us. But before we do that, we want to enjoy some of the blessings and mercies that he has for us this morning. And first thing this morning, we have a baptism. Little Ella Rose is going to be baptized. So if you guys would come forward at this time. Now, here's an interesting thing, and I'm going to call her out because, you know, she's like my kid. But Jackie Langley, is her husband Jake are the sponsors or the godparents, and they had a really tough night. Jackie is great with child.
Yes,
and there was some excitement last night. They thought maybe the baby was coming, and the baby didn't come, but they had no sleep, and so they're not here today, so we're recording it for them. Yep. All right. So we are here for a baptism today, because Jesus loves Ella. Before the creation of the world, he knew that she was going to be born, and he made provisions for her so that she could be saved and that she could come to faith in Jesus. And so in order to begin this relationship with Jesus, he gives us this gift of baptism, the gift that through which Ella is offered faith in Jesus and becomes his daughter, which is kind of this, you know, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Today we're talking about Mary and Joseph and being the parents of Jesus. But being the parents of one of the sisters of Jesus is just as exciting and interesting and a bit daunting. But you're not doing this alone. You're doing this with God. He's going to be walking with you the entire time. And you're not going to be doing this alone. You're part of our church. And so we're going to be supporting you the entire time. And so... But we still ask you: Do you intend to raise her in the faith, to teach her of the stories of God, and to teach her everything that Jesus has done for her, and teach her also how God wants her to live? Yes. Outstanding! That is wonderful. All right, hey sweetheart, receive the sign of the cross upon your forehead and upon your heart, marking you as one redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. All right, here we go. Oh no, I'm gonna let him hold her. All right, yep, that'll do. Ella Pearl Rose, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. She did great. Look at that. Outstanding. All right, and then we're because of the faith that God has put into Ella's heart today, we're going to light this candle to signify the faith that God has put in her heart. And this is a candle that I want you to burn regularly. The entire idea of all the things you're receiving today is that she can remember this day. Because, you know, we have birthdays and we remember when the day we were born, but this is the day that she is born again and made God's child. It's unbelievably important for children to know what makes them special and why they are precious. And this is the ultimate answer. She's precious because she belongs to Christ. Outstanding. So let's pray. Heavenly Father. That's okay. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for all these children you have given us, Lord, and the characters and the gift, Lord, that they are. And Lord, I pray especially for little Ella today. Help her to continue to grow in this faith that she has begun today, Lord. Help her, Lord, to continue to learn about you, to get to know you, to trust in you, Lord, and to learn that you are with her at all times so that she can always have peace in you. And look forward to the day when she will be with you forever in heaven. Be with her parents, Lord. Help them to teach her faithfully so that she will be able to do this. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Outstanding. You guys can have a seat. Here's a certificate for you. And I'll let you give this to Jackie, even though she didn't come today. All right. And my friends, we just saw a baby be baptized, and we can remember the day. Do you remember the day that you were baptized? But you were, right? Yeah. And the thing is this, we know the event happened, and we know that God is faithful and that he works through that baptism to bring us faith and to tie us to himself. And because we have faith in that promise of God, we open every worship service remembering the day that we were brought into this family. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
O Lord our God, this Advent season we eagerly await and are patient calling for you, asking, Lord, come quickly. But Lord, we thank you that you are with us each and every day, and I pray each day we would turn our eyes to you, the author and perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me. And so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. My name is Josh Langreff. I'm one of your elders here at St. Mark's. And the first reading is from Psalm 72, verses 1 through 7. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the book of Romans, the 15th chapter. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and, moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message.
Merry Christmas. Hi, everybody. Come on down. This is the best day ever. Come on down. I know. Let's have fun. Look what I have. Ooh, so many toys and gifts. Do you know where I got all of these? And I have so many more. Your birthday was yesterday? That's a wonderful gift. Where did I get all of these gifts, though?
The shop.
From all of you. You all brought these gifts and so many more. I know. And so I am all excited because this week I get to give them to our friends. You have that one? I know. Well, you know what? But look at me. Look at my outfit. I've got my party outfit on. Do you see that? I've got my snowman jacket, my Christmas tree skirt. I've got bells and baubles and all sorts of things so we can have a fun party. And look at the things that I'm going to take to my friends. I have Barbie. Oh. I know. It has a horn. And look at this. Oh, I have things for babies. Look at that. And look at this. I have things for teenagers. Look at that football. And things for moms. And I have things for dads. We didn't forget anyone, did we? No. Isn't that exciting? Okay, I wanted you to see some of my special gifts. And I'm going to pull my wagon over here while you guys sit down and we talk about these wonderful gifts, okay? All right. Thank you. Nope, we're just going to leave it right there. I know. So, what am I going to do with those wonderful gifts? I'm going to take them to friends, right? And I'm going to tell them all about you and the people who bought these gifts for them. And I'm going to be all dressed up, and they're going to love that. It's going to be super fun. But there's something more important that I'm going to need to tell my friends this week. What am I going to tell them?
I don't know.
You don't know? What?
The gift of Jesus.
Yeah. The very best gift of all. Yay! I know. So I will tell them about that. And did you hear what Pastor Josh told us today?
Yeah.
our friend Paul in the Bible, he said that God wants us to have an attitude like who? A turtle. He wants us to have an attitude like who? Who should we have an attitude like?
God.
Like, yeah, God wants us to have an attitude like Jesus, right? And so how do we do that? How can we be like Jesus?
By maybe
doing kind things. How about what we say?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really important, Paul tells us, to keep an attitude like Jesus, and we can do that in our by what we think, by what we say, by what we do. Those are all very important ways to show God's love, right? So something about these toys and gifts that I want you to think about. You don't even know who's going to receive them. I don't even know who will receive some of them. But who do you think knows? God knows, doesn't he? God knows every person who will receive those. And God knows that some of you went shopping for those things. And you brought gift cards so that people can have a nice Christmas dinner. You brought toys. You brought scarves and gloves and all kinds of wonderful things. So we can celebrate that because God put it on your heart to be generous to those who you don't even know. But some of them you know. So let's pray about that, okay? Because we really, really want to ask God to bless everyone who's going to receive every gift. And we want God to bless you too. So come on, let's come together in a little party circle. Here we go.
Yay!
Yay, I know. All right, are you ready? Are you ready to pray? Okay, you want to repeat after me?
Dear God,
please give us an attitude just like Jesus's. And bless the people who will receive all of your good gifts. And thank you for the people who bought them. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. So what is today? The last day to bring your gifts. So if you come tomorrow, will I not take your gifts? No, I'll take them. For sure. I will for sure take them.
All right, kids are off to little worship. So, during this Advent season, I'm preaching about, three sermons between Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. And the things that I'm really meditating on this Advent season is the people who were involved in this whole revelation of the birth of Christ. The first Advent service, we talked about the shepherds, and we're going to talk about the wise men at the next Advent service, and then this service, we're talking about Mary and Joseph, and those people, they couldn't possibly have known what they were getting into, you know? I mean, Mary had it was kind of a spectacular ask, right? Because, you know, the angel shows up and's talking to her, and, you know, that had to be, you know, shocking, amazing. And the angel doesn't give her all the information. All right, he just announces to her that you're going to have a baby, right? So, parents, how big of a deal is that? I mean, not only just the drama, like poor Jackie, who had like the false alert last night and stuff, but it's not just about having the baby; it's about the entire life of raising a child, right? I mean, there's a lot to that. Thing is, with Mary and Joseph, there was more than normal, right? Because even when the angel came to Mary, he tells Mary, the baby you're about to have is going to be the one who is going to sit on David's throne forever. which means you're going to have the Messiah. All right? And the first reading for today is, this is about the Messiah. Understand, they were living in a country where this Old Testament scriptures was their, that was their whole Bible, and the whole Bible was pointing toward the day that this one was going to come from God, right? The entire history of the nation is about this one event that everybody is waiting for. And what the angel said to Mary is, your child is going to be the one. Here, the first reading. This is a prophecy about the Messiah. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people and the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days, may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound until the moon is no more. Those are big, there's a lot of content there. Big promises, huge stuff, right? Talking about the one who is going to come and set things right forever, and that he would reign until the moon is no more. And actually, we know now, even longer than that. And Mary sat there and said, or the angel said to Mary, your child is going to be the one. That's a lot. And then there's Joseph, right? And he's basically, he finds out that this lady that he's engaged to is pregnant, and he doesn't want to hurt her, but he's like a righteous man and also doesn't want the taint or the, he just is like, well, I don't know what to do with this whole situation. And then an angel appears to him in a dream and says, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. Wow, okay. You know, the thing is that if I have somebody tell me, don't be afraid, what I'm thinking is everything's going to work out, right? It's all going to go as nice and smooth, right? Well, how smooth did it go? Well, right when Mary is about to deliver, they have to travel to Bethlehem because some emperor someplace decided that there's going to have to be a census taken. And so he takes his pregnant wife, hauls her all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And then when they get there, they can't find any place to stay. And the baby is literally born in a barn. Great. Can you imagine how Joseph has got to feel? He knows that this baby is special. He knows this child is the Messiah, the one who is promised. This is who this baby is, and his job is to be the father of this baby and provide for this baby, and we're starting out in a manger. He's got to feel great about that. You know? What a dad I am. You know? And then, right after that, we have shepherds showing up. As soon as the baby is born, shepherds talking about angels announcing the birth of the baby, which has got to be like, okay, this is something special. There's something going on here. And then Joseph gets the message from God that he needs to get out of Dodge because somebody is coming to hurt the baby, right? And they take the baby to Egypt, and then he gets another message. So this is going really smooth for Joseph. It's going to be just fine, right? Then he brings the baby back, finds out that the Herod that died left his son in charge, and he was no more better. So he took him to Nazareth, which was a relatively safer place, and the baby was raised in Nazareth. But everything went smoothly. It was no problem. There was never a problem with like trying to figure out how you're going to discipline God's son, right? Except for that one time when they took Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem and Jesus stayed there, and then Mary and Joseph got with their group and got halfway home and then realized Jesus wasn't with them, and they go back to Jerusalem and search crazy like crazy. Can you imagine losing God's child? I mean, this is not parent of the year type stuff, you know? And they come to the temple, and Jesus responds by saying, "Don't you know I would be about my Father's business in my Father's house?" Like, duh. What are you supposed to do with that? I mean, do you punish him because he made you crazy, or do you, what do you do, right? I mean, just understand. And this is just an illustration of the things. I mean, you got to know that these kinds of situations came up all the time. How do you go about doing this? I mean, when Mary was told that she was going to be the child, the mother of the Messiah, and when Joseph was told, "Don't be afraid, it'll all work out," they had no idea what they were getting into. And there was no way that they were prepared for the task. They couldn't be. Here's what they were, though. They were obedient. They didn't have any answers. And in fact, the farther they got into the program, the more they understood they didn't have any answers. And it's not like Mary got it right all the time either, right? Because, you know, when Jesus had started his ministry and he was preaching to the people and stuff, and Mary and his brothers showed up to try to get Jesus to stop all the crazy, right? I mean, stop with all this teaching. Stop with all this. You're making a spectacle of yourself. Well, that wasn't quite right. These two people were not magical. These two people were not super people. They were the ones that God chose for a task. They were the ones that God said, "Come follow me, do what I'm doing, get involved in this, here is what I want you to do." And they, trusting in God, did it. And when things started getting hairy, God got involved and kept things on the rails, protected Jesus, didn't let him get killed by Herod, brought him to the right place at the right time. He encouraged them. I mean, that's like when they brought Jesus to the temple that very first time, and Simeon saw Jesus, and then said that whole like song praising God that God had kept him alive until he was able to see the Messiah, and saying, "Now I can depart in peace according to your word." This was what I've been waiting for all my life, was to see this child. And to think that this is like one of these holy men at the temple saying this about my child. And when Mary went and visited Elizabeth, and right when she like came into Elizabeth's presence, the baby in Elizabeth, that miracle baby from this old lady, leapt for joy when she heard the voice of Mary. God constantly was encouraging them, constantly reminding them of what it was they were doing. And the only reason they were able to do it was because he was with them. And now we come to us and the text for today. It says this: Mary and Joseph knew what they were supposed to do because an angel appeared. Guess what we have? God's word. So many people are like, "I would just love it if God would come down and tell me exactly what he wants me to do so that I just know. And then I will do it because then I know for sure this is what I'm supposed to do." And here's my response to that. And by the way, God's response to that is, how about we do the things you already know? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not like God left us without instructions. Right? It's not like God left us without, you know, "This is how I want you to live. These are the things I want you to do." And we're like looking at the big picture, trying to say, you know, am I supposed to do this great big thing or this great? How about you love the people who are living around you? Start there. How about we just love them? And I love the text today because it talks in even smaller terms than that, but they're deceitfully small because it's like this. It says, accept them. But when it says accept them, what does that actually entail? It's not just a matter of like, well, I'm going to tolerate them. You know what I'm saying? It's not just like, well, I'm not going to hate them. Because here's the thing. The scripture goes on to talk about that we're supposed to accept them the way Jesus accepted. Think about that. So how did Jesus accept you? Did he accept you begrudgingly? Half-heartedly? Did he just do the bare minimum necessary to get you out of his life? Absolutely the opposite. He did everything necessary. Did he want to die? No. But was he willing to do whatever was necessary so that you could be with him forever? When we're talking about accepting the people around us, it is a big deal and a big job. What it means is we will do whatever is necessary to love that person, to draw them, to take care of them, to draw them into a closer relationship with Jesus, a closer relationship with you, that you will sacrifice for them, pray for them, that you will take an active interest and role in their lives, just like Jesus did us. Do you know what that's going to entail? When you meet a new person and you say, I'm going to befriend this person and I'm going to love this person, accept this person, receive this person as a precious gift from God, and I am going to do what is necessary for this person, do you know what you're signing up for? But do we do it anyway? Just like Mary did, she had no idea what she was getting into. Joseph, no idea what he was getting into. But he did it. And we do it too. Because of what Jesus has done for us, because we have received forgiveness, because we have received salvation, because we know that heaven is certain, because we love him, we love the people around us, and we give, we sacrifice, we serve them. Even though it will cost us to serve them. And who do we serve? Only the people that God loves. That's it. So, short list, right? Yeah. Basically, it's like this. You are called to be God's person in this world. You are called to have the heart that he had. You are called to follow him, to love him, and if necessary, to suffer that other people can live. As we enter this Christmas season, I just want to refocus our entire minds and understand this. This is our place in the world. Our place is not to lord it over anybody else. Our place is not to be the judge and arbiter over other people. Our place is to serve and to love. If it costs us everything, we will serve and love. Because that's what Jesus did. And we follow him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this incredible Christmas season, this thing that we are preparing for right now during Advent, Lord, as we look forward to the coming of your Son into this world to rescue us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have hearts like his, serving, loving, giving of ourselves, all for others, for all for the people that you love, because we love you. Thank you, Lord, in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Please stand as we profess our shared faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Heavenly Father, help us to daily read, learn, and inwardly digest your word. Help us to know your word that we might know your will for us. In knowing your will, help us to serve the people around us in accordance with the gifts and abilities that you have given us. Give us eyes to see the needs around us and hearts that respond in faithfulness to you. Lord, I thank you that you have called us to be your own in the waters of holy baptism. I thank you that you have adopted Ella Pearl Rose to be yours, that you have given her faith. I pray that each day she would grow in her trust of you, learning more about you each day. Lord, I pray that you be with Diane Lewis right now. She's suffering various health complications. I pray that you would guide the doctors who are giving her care, that they can know the best treatment to give to her and that she could be restored to health. Lord, I pray you be with Carrie, who lost her 30-year-old son after a long battle with leukemia. I pray that you would grant her comfort as she mourns. Help her to know that you love her and you love her son and that you are with her. And Lord, today we pray for all of our national leadership, all who you have entrusted with your authority over this nation. And especially this day, we pray for the Supreme Court. We pray that they would administer justice and determine the best way that the laws should be followed in a way that serves everyone accordingly. All these things we pray in your Son's holy precious name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me."
Your deepest secrets. Christ the King, whom shall
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
Christ who was long foretold, though in the
Well, thank you again for joining us in worship this day. At this time, I'd like to dismiss all the kids who are going to go to Sunday school to go meet our DC Lauren Bates in the back. But a couple of quick announcements that I have for you. One, I have a dessert party. St. Mark's women are hosting a Christmas dessert party for the residents at our neighbor Victoria Gardens on December 8th at 2:30 p.m. A few women are needed to help serve treats. This year, we're going to be the surprise squad and arrive as they are playing bingo. You can text Joni Doshley at 636-399-5350 if you can help. This event will take 1 hour, and the treats are already purchased. So meet at Victoria Gardens at 2:15. So if you're interested in helping support that ministry, please reach out to Joni. As well, I was informed you heard the children's message, Angel Tree Gifts. If you did not bring them today, I believe they'll be accepted tomorrow, but please bring them tomorrow. They are due tomorrow, so please bring them if you forgot them today. And that is all the announcements. We do have... Sunday school and Bible class. Bible class is going to be, if you go past the offices and such, down to the meeting room, down that hallway, you can find it. Otherwise, thank you for joining us again today, and blessings on your week.